Chapter 64. Amanda. It was 8:05 when Amanda and Billy pulled up outside the address in Brooklyn Heights.
That's it. 8th floor penthouse, said Billy.
Just as he spoke, the front door to the building opened, and a woman wearing a cap and dark clothing left the building carrying a gift basket.
Is that her? Asked Amanda.
I don't know. I can't tell from here, said Billy.
The woman carried the basket to a black car, opened it, and put the basket in the rear seat.
That's a black Mercedes she's getting into. Check the license plate. I wrote down the one they found, said Billy.
Amanda used the light from her cell phone to find the newspaper at her feet. She read out the license plate number Billy had written down.
That's it. That's her,
he said, opening the driver's door. He paused, 1 foot out of the car. The lights came on inside the Mercedes up ahead, and then the car pulled out into the street. Billy closed his door.
Damn it,
he said.
Don't let that car out of your sight.
He let the Mercedes move ahead, then followed it. As they got to the intersection, he hung back, maintaining a respectful distance between them. He hit dial on the last number called from his cell. The phone linked up to the Bluetooth on the computer in the dash. Dr. Marin answered the phone.
Dr. Marin, it's Billy. We found Ruth, but she's not at that address I gave you. She's in a black Mercedes. We're following her. When she stops, I'll text you the address.
Okay, I have to make a call too. Let me know when you have an address and I'll be right there. Be careful approaching her. If you have to, just keep her talking until I get there.
Billy hung up, gripped the wheel as they sailed through the night streets of New York City behind the sleek black car. For 20 minutes, they followed the car in silence until it pulled in and stopped. Billy swung the Escalade behind the line of parked cars. He was too close to a corner, but Amanda guessed he didn't care if he got a ticket.
She's getting out, said Amanda,
and they watched Ruth take the gift basket into a building. Billy called Dr. Marin. At first, the phone rang and he didn't pick up. Billy dialed again, and this time he answered. Billy gave Dr. Marin the new address from his satellite navigation. It all seemed to take a long time, but Amanda knew it was only a few minutes. She wanted to get in there and find Ruth. Billy ended the call. They got out of the car and approached the building entrance. Amanda glanced through the glass doors, but didn't see anyone in the lobby. There was a desk for a doorman, but there was no sign of one. Amanda pulled the door. It opened into a brightly lit marble lobby. There was a single elevator, old, with a manual sliding scissor gate door. She didn't like that kind of elevator. Her first apartment in the city had had one just like it, and she hated being able to watch the floors go by through the gate as the elevator went up and down.
Oh my God, said Billy.
Amanda turned, but didn't see Billy anywhere. Then his head shot up from behind the reception desk.
Help me,
he said. Amanda ran round, saw a huge man lying on the ground with red ribbon tied round his neck. Billy's hands were at the man's throat, pulling at the ribbon, trying to loosen it. He managed to get it free, then turned the man over and put his head on his chest. Billy then clasped his hands together and put them on the man's sternum. The doorman coughed and spluttered before Billy could perform the first compression.
Are you all right?
Said Billy.
She's gone up. Mr. Granger, said the doorman. What floor?
Said Billy.
10th floor, said the man. Amanda, wait here for Dr. Marin and the police and call a paramedic, said Billy.
Amanda took out her cell phone, started dialing, stopped and said,
What? No, I need to see her.
Not yet. Look, she's dangerous, Amanda. I've grown very fond of you. I don't want anything to happen to you. I'd never forgive myself.
It's okay. I'll just come with you, I promise.
No,
said Billy.
Please, let me go up there. Stay with the doorman in case she comes back down. You wait here for Dr. Marin and the cops, okay? Tell them where I am, and then you can come right up with them.
Amanda nodded, dialed 911. Billy helped the doorman back into his chair. He was gasping for air.
Sir, my name is Billy Cameron. I'm going up to stop the woman who attacked you. Can you please call the people on the 10th floor? Tell them not to open their doors for any reason, okay?
He nodded, and Billy said to Amanda,
Can you help him with that?
She nodded. Amanda's 911 was answered, and she asked for paramedics and police. The doorman gave the address as George Towers. Billy hauled open the elevator gate, stepped inside, closed it, and hit the button for the 10th floor. Slowly, the elevator began to rise, and with it came almighty clattering as the mechanism whined into life. There were no doors on the elevator. She could still see him through the scissor gate. The lift ascended, and as his face was gradually obscured, then his torso, his hands and his legs, and the light from the car disappeared altogether, Amanda was suddenly very afraid that this was the last time she would see Billy alive. She heard the guard talking. He'd regained enough breath to call the residents, told them not to open their doors. There was a situation. She stepped outside, checked the street for any passing cops. Amanda hadn't prayed in a long time, but she muttered an oath to God on that doorstep, asking him for protection for her friend. Another sound drew her attention. A silver Lexus pulled up across the street, and the engine, which had been revving high, shut off. A man got out of it quickly. He was in his 60s, bald, but with a fulsome gray beard and delicate rimless glasses perched precariously on his nose. In his left hand, he carried what looked like a leather medical bag. He looked around the street.
Are you Dr. Marin? Called Amanda.
He waved at her, crossing the street, just as another car pulled up. This was an old Ford with a dent in the chrome bumper. The windows were tinted, and she guessed this was the cops. Then she realized where she'd last seen that car, parked outside her building. Faro and Hernandez got out, Hernandez first, and then Faro more stiffly. Amanda's stomach lurched. She wanted to throw up. She was so damn close now. She had Ruth upstairs, and she hadn't even had a chance to talk to her. And it was too late. Too damn late. Faro and Hernandez greeted Dr. Marin as if they were expecting him. And suddenly, Amanda felt unsure about what exactly was going on.
Amanda, what are you doing here?
Asked Faro.
You two know each other?
Asked Dr. Marin.
Yeah, we do, said Amanda. I'm with Billy Cameron. We both knew Ruth through our trauma therapy group. He just went up in the elevator. She's attacked the doorman. I think he's okay, but he's still winded.
Oh my God, what floor are they on?
Asked Marin.
10th, said Amanda.
Marin, Faro, and Hernandez jogged inside. Amanda nodded, suddenly unable to say anything else, and moved with them. Faro checked on the doorman, who was clutching his throat, his breathing still heavy. Hernandez banged open the staircase door and started pounding up the stairs. Faro called out at Hernandez.
Don't engage her until I get there. Wait for me. I'll take the elevator with Dr. Marin.
He punched the button to summon the elevator.
I've been looking for you, Amanda,
said Faro.
Are you okay? I went to your apartment. I've been calling for days.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm okay, considering. We've got a lot to talk about. I have something to-
Look, ideally we would do this another time. But now I have you, let me say this fast. The reason I wanted to talk to you is to give you an update on Wallace Crone.
Amanda had taken a deep breath, ready to unload, ready to tell him she had hurt someone. She had gone to a house to kill this man, but backed out. Then he'd attacked her, and she'd acted in self-defense. She'd been manipulated into it by the woman upstairs. But she held her breath when Faro mentioned Crone's name. She said nothing. Her mind was suddenly wiped.
We picked him up a couple of days ago on an anonymous tip. He's a registered sex offender, so he's not allowed within 100 feet of a school. We got a call saying he was talking to kids outside an elementary school and had persuaded one of them into his car. We checked with the school and they had no reports of missing kids or a kid getting into a strange vehicle. Even so, we held him for the day and questioned him relentlessly. Got the lab to swab his vehicle. Turns out there were no fingerprints and no other DNA present in the passenger seat that he couldn't account for. I just got the word back from the lab the other night. thought I should at least give you a call and let you know.
Amanda's thoughts came rushing back to her, recalibrated, and yet too jumbled to allow her to express any of them. She let out her breath in a rush. That's why Crone didn't get the subway to work that day. That's why he didn't show up for his psychiatrist appointment. Ruth had made the call to the cops, got him arrested and off the street, then told Amanda she'd killed him.
Amanda, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Good. I'm sorry it took so long to reach you. I know you always wanted to be updated first. I respect that. Look, we can talk later. This elevator isn't coming down anytime soon. We'll take the stairs. Wait here.
Amanda stood aside as Farrow and Dr. Marin stepped by her, opened the door to the stairwell. Then she heard something, loud and clear. They all did. It was unmistakable. The sound of a gunshot.